Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25000.
And of course, you can give us a call as well on 07491 25000, or email as well, comments at highlandradio.com. Coming up shortly, we've got this week's Community Guard information slot for you. We're also going to have a new recruit to An Garda Síochána Síochána, having done the 9 odd months in Templemore. It's a local person, and maybe if you've got someone in your life that's thinking about it, because there is a recruitment campaign going on at the moment, we'll get a sense of what it's like, and maybe you can play it back to them if they're not listening. Right, some more of your comments coming in relation to last night's debate. It was boring, not helped by the presenter. He didn't really deliver any punches to them, wasn't inspired to vote for any of them. Heather Humphreys, a true politician, sat back and let the conversation go around her. Jim Gavin's answers were rehearsed and lost himself if he went off script at all. The only one with a glimmer of a chance of getting my vote was Catherine Connolly. Another, the debate last night was brutal. Nobody answered the questions. No enthusiasm, no vision, dead. None offered hope. We get enough of the dreary politics from the politicians. We need, and we won't get, a president who will offer hope, inspire us as a people to dream more, to become more, to achieve more. Someone who knows our roots and can stand tall and lift up our heads to a horizon of hope and celebrate what we are and what we can become. They are dead, and the politicians have limited our horizons by giving us only their choice of candidates, which is sadly so bad it's depressing again. And it's not to to wave a flag for anyone in particular, but Catherine Connolly is an independent whom parties have come behind. Hi, Greg. The €10,000 payment is only available to people already in the system before the 28th of September, so anyone arriving in the future would not be eligible. Very good point. And I read that out loud in the story, but still went on to suggest that it could be abused. So thank you very much for pulling me up on that and for that clarification. A caller says tourism is down around the world. Shocker, when everyone's skinned, they can't afford to go on holiday. Nothing to do with us giving out about the orangutan, as they mentioned. His approval rating in the States is under 20% now. I really do believe that obviously people are skinned, but there's lots of people with lots of money. And I do feel that, especially with a bit of nationalism that's going on around the world, that there are certain countries, certain other countries, sort of are less inclined to go and visit, even if they have money. I genuinely believe that's the case, but I could be wrong, of course. I have been many times before. Near 2 weeks now since a boil notice from Loch Anna, Glenties water supply that covers a big area, Ardra and surrounding areas. This is going on too long. Also, the whole system needs to be flushed out, as this needs to be done at all to scour valves. I don't know the ins and outs of how you might cleanse that system. We'll do an update and see if Irish Water have any further timeline for that boil notice to be lifted. Often it's just like on a Thursday evening or something, the boil notice is lifted. There doesn't often be a big lead in. Greg, would you please ask whoever or whatever group placed an oversized hurley on the Dry Arch Roundabout Monument to remove it, as it's an eyesore? I'm all in favour of local communities showing support for their local teams, but defacing a public artwork is not on. Visitors like to photograph this iconic landmark, and the hurley just destroys the image. I'm sure Letterkenny Tidy Towns Committee are not too pleased about this either. I haven't seen it. If anyone's got a picture of it, send it in. I mean, obviously art and how things are presented is very subjective. So this listener might think that this is not pleasant. Others might think that it makes the picture even better. Because, you know, we've got this icon, you're in Ireland, you've got this big big hurley stick. I don't know. What do you think? 086 60 25000. A caller says, my children love the Irish language. They come home every day and teach me. Isn't that fantastic? Great. Another, I think that the Irish language has never been in a better position. We have resources online and in person to help you learn. People are using the Cúpla Focal all the time, which really helps the language move forward. But unfortunately, its use is in decline. And unfortunately, you know, we've got record numbers, 60,000 odd students now opting out of learning Irish. So whilst, you know, the perception might be in pockets or in your life that, you know, it's never been as strong, the reality is that we can see sort of the bigger picture whereby there are issues. A caller said, should we make the language optional? We would have a lot more interest in it. Children feel pressured into Irish, and that leads to frustration. Okay, thanks very much for that. An email here. Hi, in relation to phones for kids, my child started secondary school this year. We've decided not to give our kids phones. Our child is coming home saying she could not take part in research in class because she didn't have a phone. She had a maths test and other kids could use their school app for notes and she had nothing to help. She has to access work via school apps, etc. I'm finding it hard to maintain our no phone rule. I'm not against online research during school, etc., but I believe that the school needs to provide protected devices for kids to use and not phones. I don't want to come... I get you. I mean, it's a tricky, tricky one because it's very hard to take some sort of a stand in this day and age. You can set a phone up whereby there's limited access in terms of only safe searching and only the apps that this child needs. So you have the option there to, and it doesn't have to be a very modern phone either. You know, you can use one of the old phones of yours if you have one. So you can set up a device that would allow your child to access stuff like this, but not have TikTok, Instagram, etc., and also have safe search set up on the internet. So it is possible. It is possible. And that's, you can have the some of the services of the phone without the child still having a phone. So it doesn't have to be all or nothing, if you know what I mean. Knife crime, a caller says, what's going on in Ireland in recent years? Knife crime has become the norm. It happens on a daily basis. Mental problems seem to be blamed in many cases. Or is it just a way of trying to excuse what these people... I don't know what you're referencing there. We are seeing knives pop up more and more. It's not a Dublin thing. I did note a recent case where someone saw someone brandishing a knife in a park in Letterkenny. There is also reports of knives being brandished on the main street in Letterkenny. I'm not saying it's exclusive to Letterkenny, but knife crime, the use of knives, is an issue. That being said, the Garda statistics would indicate that knife crime is actually going the other direction, but I think people might have a distrust of those statistics. Someone mentioned about speeding on the Leck Road, which is in Letterkenny, Caroline. Isn't that right? Yeah, it is. I'm a resident in Leck. People speed on the roads. The council needs to get involved and install ramps for safety. It's like talking to a wall. People won't slow down unless they're forced to do so. Staying with the roads, just on the Leck Road at the creche, maybe the drivers dropping the children off and picking them up would stop doing U-turns on the road. Okay. That's not row. Right, let me see. Government spending, some on that there. I'll get to that in a mo. Some are fresh, some are carried over from a busy show yesterday.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Time now for Community Garda information on this Tuesday, the 30th of September 2025. We're joined in studio by Garda Sean Swinney from the Buncrana Garda Station. Sean, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg.
Great to have you in, and we'll get to the appeals and information in a moment, but we'll also be chatting a little later on to, I was going to say newly ordained, it's not quite that, is it? New? What is the term? It's a new recruit, is it?
Probationer.
Bro, a new probationer with Ungada Síochána Garda, Jared McNamee, based in Letterkenny. Jared, thanks for calling up as well, and as I say, we'll have a chat in a moment, because obviously there is a new Garda, a new round of Garda recruitment ongoing, and maybe Jared might be having the information that makes you say, right, that's for me, or maybe play it back to someone in your life who's looking for a new career, or perhaps just might be drawn to Ungada Síochána. But first, we'll start with you, Sean, and we'll start with appeals, a theft incident in Muff.
Yeah, this occurred on Wednesday the 24th September at approximately 9:30 p.m. At the Oct Road, Muff. A lady was standing at that location waiting on a bus when a male on a bicycle snatched her handbag as he passed by. He continued onwards in the direction of Quigley's Point. He was wearing all black clothing and had his hood up. The stolen green handbag contained a white wallet with a small amount of sterling cash and a Lloyds bank card, Samsung earpods, an Apple laptop, an Apple iPhone and a VR headset. There are appeals to anybody who observed the cyclist to get in touch with Gardaí. If you travel along that route, the Oct Road Muff, between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. with a dash cam, or in the general area of Muff Village, please make the footage available to us. And should any of these types of items come for sale on a second-hand basis, please alert Gardaí Muncrana on 932-540 or the confidential line 1800-666-111.
Yeah, and the moments leading up to it and afterwards critical there, because you know maybe the hood was down at some point.
Absolutely,
or what have you.
Yeah.
So if those timelines match with when you were on that road and you do have a dash cam, check it out, or check in your memory to see if... checking your mental memory to see if anything rings a bell there. A theft in Letterkenny next.
Yeah, this happened in Rosemount Lane, Letterkenny, on Sunday the 28th September at approximately 6:40 p.m. A red-black trailer was stolen from the side of a house at that location. So we're interested in any sightings of a white Mondeo in the area around that time. A man can be seen wearing a blue jacket on CCTV footage, hooking the trailer onto the Mondeo and leaving the area. So our appeal to anybody who travel on Main Street, Letterkenny, Rosemount Lane or Pierce Road, whose dash cam between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. in those dates, please make it available or call. If you have any relevant information, call Letterkenny 9167 100.
Someone saw something there, a good description. Burglary this time in Fintown.
Yeah, it's occurred at the derelict cottage in the area of Glenlehan, Fintown, between Thursday the 18th September and Thursday the 25th September. So the front door of the cottage was forced open and a quantity of copper piping was stolen from within. So our appeal is anybody who observes suspicious activity or vehicles in that area over the course of that week may contact Gardaí Ballyshannon on 9858530.
Not attributing any blame there at all, but if people are out on the lookout, you know, a lot of building going on at the moment, exactly, a lot of renovation. Yeah. Copper's not always used nowadays, but just to make sure your site's secure, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's your standard advice, isn't it? Right, burglary now in Fairgreen Hill, Letterkenny.
Yeah, so our appeal has just occurred at the house in the area of Fairgreen Hill, Letterkenny, on Friday, 26 September, between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Entry was gained via unlocked back door, a PS5, a computer monitor and a quantity of cash stolen from an upstairs bedroom. So if anybody travelling that area, dash cam footage between those hours and those dates, we ask them to make it available. Or if you observe suspicious activity, contact Letterkenny, again 9167 100.
All right. Is it a burglary at Tullidish? Yeah. Two instances in Tullidish. Start with the burglary, yeah?
Yeah, so the burglary in Tullidish, it's between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. on Wednesday, 24th September, during which time a farm shed was entered and the lock on the door was cut. A lock on the outer gate was also cut. Two tools were stolen, namely an orange Oleo McSparta Strimmer 44-1T and an orange steel chainsaw 028 18-inch bar. So our appeal to anybody observe specific activity vehicles between those dates, get in touch. We're particularly interested in hearing sightings or have dashcam footage of a silver Isuzu Jeep is believed to be in the area with two males on board. Should anyone come across again tools for sale on second-hand basis, alert Gardaí in Buncrana, 9320540.
Okay, now criminal damage in the same area around the same time, presumably two separate pulse numbers, but everything is being investigated.
Yes, yeah. So this happened in the farm again, Tullidish, Buncrana, between 7 and 8 a.m. on Wednesday the 24th. Lock on the shed door was cut, but the shed was empty, so it was nothing taken. The appeal again, if any observed a silver Isuzu Jeep, two males on board between those times, or if any relevant information, contact Buncrana or the confidential line again, 1800 666 111.
All right, now, criminal damage this time in St Johnston.
Yeah, at the Skene, St Johnston, Friday the 26th September, shortly after 8:30 p.m. We received reports of abandoned mobile homes on fire at that location. Gardaí Fire Service attended the scene. Thankfully, there was nobody inside at the time of the blaze, so no injuries. So our appeal is anybody in that area, again, dashcam footage between 7:30 p.m. 8:30 p.m. Or if you have any relevant information, contact Letterkenny 9167 100.
Yeah, thank God no one was in it, but I'm sure emergency services replied and responded as if there might have
exactly,
been as
yeah.
well. So a lot of resources go in to tackle instances like that. Theft from a van next in Bella Buffet.
Yeah, it's a white Fiat Doblo, a registration 08D47839. This was the Forest Road at Minty Cat Wind Farm, Mean Bog in Bella Buffet. The van had gone off the road and the owner returned to collect it. He realised it was stolen. Theft is believed to happen between 7 a.m. on Tuesday the 23rd September and 9 p.m. on Wednesday the 24th September. So our appeal is anybody's information, the current whereabouts in relation, or if you have information in relation to the theft, please contact Ballyshannon 9858530 or again the confidential line.
I presume that could have just looked like a regular recovery. People need to sort of, you know, check their memory. Yeah. Okay. Time for a couple of questions, if that's all right. Yeah, we've done the van at Mean Bog. Mm-hmm. Can you ask the Garda what can be done in Glengad at night? Two young men joyriding. Something has to be done. So you would hear stories like this.
Yeah.
It's frustration, like no one's there to help.
Exactly. Look, Gardaí and McClanagh can reach 24/7. Again, that number is 932 540. So, look, we'd ask the caller, contact Gardaí immediately, and these incidents occurred. If you're aware of who the men are, the registrations, the cars involved, please pass this information on. If you don't want to pass this type of information on to the station, you can use the Garda confidential line. That number is 1800 666 111. There's also the option of reporting the matter via Traffic Watch, an online form. This can be accessed via garda.ie. So any incident of dangerous driving reported has occurred will always be fully investigated. So please report the incident. When it's occurring, let us know and we'll react to it.
One other question here. Could you ask the Garda if I can go to any Garda station to get a passport form signed?
Well, you should go to your most local station because they know you there. You can get a form sent at any station that's local to your home. But again, you have to have relevant documentation and documentation. The Garda has to be fully satisfied of who you are. Mm. So it's best to go to your local station if you can.
You wouldn't, but obviously the passport office has to make a couple of calls back, right? And they try a couple of times. And, you yes. know, if there's, so if I did it, say, for instance, in, you know, I don't know if Ballintra's station mm-hmm. still, but say it was open for an hour. Would I not be better off going to Ballyshannon, a 24/7 station? Would,
yeah, because there's always somebody there. So when the passport office ring, they're going to check the register, and they do on a regular basis. So it is going to hold up your application if they can't verify. Mm.
And they will only call a certain amount of times, and then.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Good advice. Garda recruitment. You're looking for more colleagues, Sean.
We are. We need every one of them. So the latest competition is now live. Interested candidates have until 3 p.m. on Thursday, the 9th of October, to apply. An information event will take place on Wednesday, the 1st October, at Balbuffet Garda Station between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. The local Garda Community Policing Unit in Letterkenny will hold two recruitment information events on Thursday, the 2nd October. The first at Letterkenny Shopping Centre between 12:30 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. And the second in Central Library in Main Street, Letterkenny, in a downstairs room between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. You're going to get a lot of information in these events. There'll be trainee Garda there. They're going to explain the process, what they went through and what you need to do. So it's well worth coming if you want to find out what you need to do to go through the process. Again, there's more information on publicjobs.ie.
How long have you been a Garda now, Sean?
19 years now, Greg.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Been a while. No regrets?
No, no.
It's a tough job, though, isn't it?
It is, but there's niches for everybody. You know, there's different units you can get into. I'm doing this here now as well, like, so, you know, there's something for everyone in it.
Yeah, okay. Someone right at the beginning of their career is Garda Jared McNamee, based in Letterkenny. Great to see you, Jared. Congratulations on your passing out or whatever the phraseology is. Do you mind me asking what age you are?
32, Greg.
32, right. Well, you don't look 32, but so that would be, you know, relatively later, is it? How what was the age demographic in Templemore?
Our intake, I was intake 244, and that was the first intake where they increased the age bracket from 35 up to 50. I thought it was a great experience. They opened that bracket up. There were so much older people coming in on the higher age bracket. Very successful as well. Mm. And it's great to have people, that older segment there, they support and guide the younger generation that's going under the guards.
Because this is almost like, you know, take two for you, isn't it? Because you left school at 17. People might recognise your name or face if they're watching from the Irish dancing scene. You toured all over the world, didn't you?
Toured all over the world, Greg. And again, that thing, like, I remember I was back at school too. I know school mightn't be for everyone and you're coming to the final exams. But one thing I will say is, just give that final push.
Get
the leaving cert. And it leaves your doors open then. As I say, I left at a young age and went travelling the world, dancing, gained vast experience, learned fast how to live, manage with people, being able to talk. I think it's very important to have a background of life experience before you apply
yourself. It's an advantage.
It's a massive advantage. And at that time, I didn't see the advantage. But now, later on, when I look back, that was the building blocks for me being able to steer the ship forward.
And you spent some time in the music industry, decided to retrain as a nurse.
Yeah.
Then the pivot to On Garda Síochána. Yeah. What changed your mind there?
I wouldn't say nothing changed my mind, Greg. I'm a believer of opening doors.
Yeah.
If you can open a door, take every opportunity you can. Now, when you're opening doors, it's important to leave a revolving door behind you. The guards have always been inside me from a young age as well, growing up. I applied in 2013.
Right.
Was unsuccessful at that time. But again, things happen for a reason. And looking back now...
Were you a young lad then?
Young then, Greg. Yeah, and I didn't have the life experience that I have.
Plus, you wouldn't have had then the actual life experiences.
I wouldn't have had my life outside as well. So I found myself... the opportunity came up and I says, you know what? Here's another opportunity, another avenue, another challenge, which I'm prepared to face and take on.
Right, you went into Temple more than 2024, December 2024. What was that like, that experience?
The first...
is it like going back to school or what?
It is and it isn't, Greg.
Right.
The 16th of December I started, it was the first day down. Very daunting experience going in. But then you see the hundreds of other people there with you. So everybody's on the one page. Temple Moor was a fantastic experience. It's broken up. You do 3 months in Temple Moor, which is phase one. And that's your classroom learning and your practical skills. Then in phase two, you come out on a training station, which is close to home, and you spend 3 months on your training station for your phase two, and then you return back to Temple Moor for the final phase before you pass out.
So you go into it with your eyes wide open. There's obviously, you know, the practical, there's the written stuff and that, but you also get to see the reality of being out on the beat as well, which is important, isn't it? Because you don't want to come out 9 months later and go, what? You know what I mean?
I think you still do that.
Yeah.
But it's great to have the practical side of it, Greg, and along with the classroom stuff, the whole way through the process, you are getting that hands-on experience in Temple Moor, and especially then when you come out in your phase two training, you really get to see what the job really entails. I think it really does help then on your phase three when you go back, when you have your assessments to do. We had 19 assessments to do in phase three. The paperwork and the practical side does go hand in hand.
Were there any concerns about this career move that you had that you've sort of overcome? I don't know, because you're a young dad, right? You know, I don't know if it's about safety, because you never know. Thankfully, you know, Garda deaths are few and far between, but we don't actually often hear about, you know, the injuries or the abuse or what. You know, I think for the most part, and I said this at an event recently, I think for the most part, you know, the majority of people have an awful lot of respect for the Gardaí and understand that, you know, you do need them and they're there to do a job. And I think we shouldn't lose sight of that because of maybe some people with more extreme views of the Guards. But were you nervous about any of that going into it? Because you don't really know where you're going to be based either, do you?
You don't really know where you're going to be based. And it's not finalised, Greg, until nothing's really confirmed until you're standing in Temple Moor and passing out with the badge in your hand. That's when you're guaranteed that you're going to the station they give you. You're not really prepared to deal with it, but your resilience and, as I said, your life experience and dealing with people, that's where that key factor comes in. 99% of the time, the guard's able to talk, and that's very important. The talking is very important in them situations. We come under threat. Can be daunting, but as I say, you have to let it run off your...
Yeah, that's where the training comes in and your colleagues are with you as well. Were you sort of prepared for potentially being based down the country, or is there more flexibility now? The Gardaí understand that, you know, things have changed now and try and accommodate, say, someone with a young family like yourself.
Yeah, Greg. Over recent years now, they've really started to look after the trainees and they're starting to place people closer to home. Now, that's people with welfare cases, with children, and maybe mortgage.
For others, might be mad to get away to a different area.
Yeah. Of course, Greg, if I was young again and
send me to Galway, send me to Dublin, wherever,
happy to go. But I think it's important, and it's a great change that they've made. It gives people with families and the circumstances that I'm coming from that's... but of hope that you are going to be close to home, and it makes it workable.
And this is nothing to do with your own private circumstances, but, you know, you do your job, you've a job for life, there's incremental pay increases, and what have you. I mean, this is a very good career for you as a sort of a provider as well for your family. Not saying your other half isn't providing, but you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely,
it gives you a bit of security there if you...
There's great security there, Greg, and you have the benefits as well. Like your medical aid assistance and stuff like that comes into play. You know, you have the support of the Garda credit unions. As I say, you're well looked after. And it's to remember to keep all.
And a little birdie told me there's a handy wee house down in Dublin if you go into a concert, Croke Park. Sean, have you heard of this?
Tell me more.
Oh, the lads, my heart's been spitting in Croke Park. Maybe there's a few boys keeping it on the QT. I don't know. But anyway, Jared, you would recommend it. You've gone through the process. It's at the right time in your life. And you're now in your 2-year probation period in Letterkenny Garda Station. Probation might have different meanings for different people. You're fully active member of the
fully
force
active
now.
Member, yeah. Greg. That's what it means. Yeah. The probation is linked on to the accredits. It's a level 7 accredit and bachelor of arts program in applied policing, which is accredited by University of Limerick. So for the first 2 years on the probation, now we would have a class every 2 to 3 weeks, in your local area. So ours is the collab here at ATU. We have a class and we have ongoing assessments and exams throughout that 2-year period. So that's where the probation comes in, and obviously you can manage your workload and keep on top of everything. So it's a great learning to be able to meet deadlines and submit your files or whatever it is that you're going to be doing down the road.
And is there a particular area within the Gardaí that you'd be interested in pursuing down the line, or are you just getting your foot now and
there is, Greg. I like to set goals and targets. I've always done that and I've achieved most of the goals that I've always wanted. I'll do the same in this. At the minute now, I'm just enjoying the experience. It's such a wide variety. I work for the first 2 years on probation. You work on the core regular unit. So you're dealing with your theft, your burglaries, your accidents. It's a wide range. So you learn everything core for the first 2 years, and then after that, hopefully down the road, then you might steer into your traffic or your crime or whatever it is, you know, where you like to focus. Possibly down the road, I will see myself possibly going into traffic.
Yeah,
but it's very early to say that.
Yeah,
like, you know.
I know what you're saying. No, it's interesting because I wanted to ask you that because within the job, you can sort of then maybe start focusing on elements of the job as well. So I thought it's just
such a wide variety.
That,
Greg. It's such a wide variety.
Okay, right. And I don't know who you have to upset to end up coming in here on a Tuesday, but you have to pee someone off, I think. The people prepared to do it are getting thin on the ground. Listen, it's very important though. Jared, the very, very best of luck with your career.
Thanks, Greg.
It's been a great insight, actually. And there is a recruitment ongoing at the moment. And as you heard from Garda, Jared McNamee there, he couldn't recommend it highly enough. And of course, as always, the stalwart, Sean, Garda Sean Sweeney, thank you very much for calling in. All right, lovely stuff. Okay, that was Community Garda information for this Tuesday. It's back with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Anil Anthony Ambat is organiser of a careers fair in the RCC. He's in studio with me now. Anil, thank you for calling up.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Right, so talk to me about this careers fair.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I'm organising this post-secondary career path higher studies session with the support of Autism Family Support Letterkenny and Divine Nails and GoMart Asian Store Letterkenny. So this is mainly for students who are studying in the secondary, and especially for those who are in junior cert and above.
And is it with a view to maybe helping them focus on where they might want to go with their career, and I suppose then might give them greater focus in their studies?
Yeah, mainly it is also we are focusing to give parents also awareness of this. So what the scope will be each subject, depending on what subject they like, what are the different career options available. So that's what we'll be highlighting. So this, if you think about it, Greg, during the leaving cert, students will be under enormous pressure to achieve the grades to get into the university. So this, by parents, as a parent, if we can step in and support them by gathering some information and to help them to get into the right track.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, obviously, I have them in my family, but not in my house, kids who are very focused. They know what they want to do.
Yeah.
And they almost tailor their education to meet their goals. But I think there's an awful lot of parents out there or grandparents with young people, and they might even have a qualification. They might have actually done their 3 or 4 years and still don't know what they want to do. You know, they might have some sort of a relatively generic qualification. So, you know, this might help people get a clearer vision of what might interest them.
Exactly, exactly. From the background I'm coming from, like, it is entirely different from what the education system we have here. So it may be same for many, many other people as well. So mainly what we are looking for is, if you take my own example, my daughter didn't have a clue like what she want to do. And finally, she told me, like, I want to do the dentistry.
Mm. What age was that at? Did she say that to you?
Last year.
And what age?
Last year.
Okay.
And so when I applied to the universities, I was not aware that it is the UK entry process and the Republic of Ireland entry process are different.
Okay.
Because we missed out, actually, the UCAT. UCAT, we were not aware that UCAT is needed for getting admission in dentistry, because Republic of Ireland is just based on the leaving cert marks.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that, you know, it can happen to anyone. So what we are trying to get out of it is to get an awareness to the parents and the students on what are the different career path options available, what are the process to apply for the courses. So the session will be led by a senior career coach, Una Coyler. So she'll be leading the session, and I'm also getting someone from Dublin, a recruitment agency called Studywell Group. So he'll be explaining about different study options available in Europe.
I think, too, people need to think more now so about where they want to work, what they want to do in a very changing world. Yeah. And trends can change really quite quickly. The obvious example is after the last economic crash, people did not become architects because no building was happening. Nothing was happening, right? And then when things started to recover as they do, there was this gap in sort of qualified architects or what have you, right? That's a silly little example. But my point being now, when you look at, you know, look at practically, how is AI going to maybe affect your career?
Yeah.
Or where are the next growth industries? Like, there is a massive shortage of qualified electricians and engineers to work in the renewable energy sector, for an example.
Yeah, yeah.
There are no end of jobs and they can't fill the jobs. They're trying to convince 30-year electricians to repurpose and come and work in that industry.
Yeah,
so
it's
very important that people are teasing out their interests now. So the discussions up for discussion are the Irish education system, grinds tutoring options, post-secondary school options, university studies in Ireland, UK and Europe, which is critical because, you know, you might have, as we heard from Anil, his daughter, sometimes you can find out information just when you say, right, this is what I'm interested in. Eligibility criteria and applications process. All areas where it would be great to get a little bit of guidance, support and help, Anil.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's easy to miss out these things, you know, and it is better for us to don't wait until the end of, like, leaving cert to figure these things out, you know.
Mm.
So,
will there be a particular emphasis in sort of the medical field, or is it general?
We are getting some students, medical students, dentistry students, and someone studying for engineering and other areas,
right, so
to do
is,
a live
enough.
Talk, you know,
okay, yeah,
to share
right.
their experience. So the journey they have been through.
And also there'll be a 30-minute Q&A. I imagine it might run a bit longer than that. But anyway, they're scheduled a 30-minute Q&A session at the end for anyone
if parents have questions regarding any particular area. And if you think of, like, if you are going for a private consultation, it may cost around, like, €250 to €300 here.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dublin, it's €400. And, you know, when I was discussing with her the challenges I faced, and she was more than happy to provide it for a very reasonable rate. And since it is the after all the expenses, the amount is going to charity, we are now providing the session for just €5 per head. And
I should point out, over half the seats are taken, by the way. It's capped at 75 and 50 have gone. So if you have an interest in this. And just to recap, you said this right at the beginning. What age students do you think would best benefit from this?
I would say like junior third and above.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
Junior third
right,
and
it's just
above,
where you're starting to need to... Yeah. All right, good stuff, Anil. How do people find out about registering, by the way? Sorry, that's the last question I have
for you. I have a Google form there I have already shared.
Okay, so we have that.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to contact us, we'll put that in your direction. All right, Anil, I think we covered everything there, didn't we? When is it taking place? Sorry, that's one thing
It is in RCC. 8th of November.
So there's plenty of notice. Okay, 1:30 in the afternoon, so plenty of notice. But please take note, there's 75 seats, 48 of them, almost 50 already filled. There's a €5 registration fee, that's to cover expenses, but anything additional to that will go towards the Autism Family Support Network in Letterkenny, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed, Anil Anthony Ambat, organiser of the Careers Fair in the RCC. If you want any further information in relation to that, feel free to give us a call here on the 9 till noon show. Right, now we're joined in studio by Donal Kavanagh from the newsroom, of course. Donal, thanks so much for coming in to us.
Pleasure, Greg.
Right, now, a big update from Angada Síochána last night in relation to the explosion in Chrysler. And it's one of those events that, it feels like yesterday, but also it's hard to believe that 3 years has passed. It's a peculiar one if you're sort of closely connected to something. But remind us of the circumstances from October 7th that brought us to this point.
Shortly after 3 o'clock on that afternoon, Greg, a very busy shop, petrol station in Chrysler, just on the outskirts on the Letterkenny side there, there was an explosion. The building partially collapsed, trapping a number of people inside. A huge recovery operation involving emergency services and volunteers from the immediate area, from right around Donegal and indeed from our neighbours in Derryfermanagh and Tyrone as well. And it took 24 hours at least just to get a sense of the scale of what had happened. And in the end up, when the bodies were recovered, 10 people had lost their lives in that building. And I think the last of the bodies was recovered on the Saturday afternoon, 24 hours after the explosion happened. Obviously, the entire community around there was helping and gathered in the area. And it's just certainly the most awful tragedy I've experienced in 35 years on Highland Radio.
The Garda investigation has been ongoing. What has happened between it being launched and to now in terms of people that have been spoken to, etc.?
We get updates from Garda every couple of months we'll get a notification that a person has been arrested, a person is being questioned, they're being held in a Garda station, and then we'll get confirmation the next day that the person has been released without charge. The Garda investigation is continuing.
And that is also, I mean, that's common practice.
Yes.
Arresting someone and questioning them under arrest offers that individual to protection and rights, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, they're so being that interviewed is, under process, caution. Yeah. I think, as this phrase goes, it's under caution. So their rights have been explained. They're being interviewed under caution. And this is being gathered as evidence. Now, the huge update here and the real breakthrough now that what's happening is after a 3-year investigation, 7 arrests and the collection of literally hundreds of files, Gardaí have now drawn all their materials together and they have submitted a file to the Directorate of Public Prosecutions.
Yeah, and they say that investigation generated 1,500 internal jobs in terms of jobs that need to be done, not physical jobs.
Absolutely.
1,000 statements and 750 reports, and they are still looking to speak to anyone who may have information that hasn't yet formally spoken to Angada Síochána.
Absolutely, and that will continue. And as you always say to the various Gardaí that take part in the Garda community information on a Tuesday, a Garda investigation, very few Garda investigations are solved by one big, huge reveal. What Garda investigations do and what Gardaí solve situations with is thousands of small pieces of information that make a jigsaw. And what they've been doing over the past 3 years is very patiently, and I'm sure very diligently and fastidiously, putting together a jigsaw.
Now, the DPP will have to consider if a bar is reached in terms of whether or not someone can be charged with anything relating to this incident. That
Absolutely.
Is the role of the DPP. And they can say, yes, you can progress that charge against that person, mm-hmm. or they might say, unfortunately, we don't reach a threshold. Not unfortunately, yeah. they'll just say we don't reach a threshold for charges to be brought. That's also yeah. an option.
I mean, the DPP will, and the you know, we speak of the DPP. In reality, the DPP is an office where several personnel, legal personnel, and others within the DPP's office will go through every one of those files. Every one of those pieces of evidence, they will do so carefully and with a fine-tooth comb. And I suspect the DPP review is going to take months. We're not going to get a decision on this anytime soon. We'll probably get it possibly in 2026. It could even take longer. I honestly don't know, because I think something on this scale and of this magnitude, this is going to be a very, very careful and painstaking review of every piece of evidence there. But it is, and I think there has been over the past couple of years, just on the eve of the anniversary, Gardaí do tend to issue an update. And this one is a big one. This one is moving that investigation forward.
And just briefly, a motion had been passed at Donegal County Council relating to... Now, it is a motion, by the way, and these are functions of the executive, but the motion was passed calling on the executive to buy the site of the Chrysler tragedy. Yeah. There's a lot of different opinions within Chrysler, and there are also a lot of people... you know, that are affected by these decisions in different ways. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, obviously, the councillors proposing this are thinking of the families of the bereaved. But it was referenced in the short time we have that this is a very sensitive, emotional matter.
It is. This was first raised. It was raised at a municipal district meeting at the Milford Centre some months ago by Councillor Thomas Sean Devine, who put forward a suggestion that Donegal County Council should buy the site, acquire the site, either through a negotiation and agreement with the owners or through a compulsory purchase order. And that site then should be used as a memorial, and the council would sit down with the families to actually discuss what's going to happen. Now, what happened then was he was asked to hold back on the motion because at that point, the planning determination hadn't yet been received for the site. We know then that planning application had been put in. That planning application was refused. Councillor Devine resubmitted his motion in July. Again, it was deferred pending a number of meetings. And then he moved it yesterday and he made it quite clear he wanted a decision. He was asked to defer again. He said no, he wanted a decision. There were several family members in the chamber. I spoke to several of them and interviewed Hugh Harper, and that went out obviously on Newsnight. It's available online. And the tensions and emotions were obviously running high because it's just the eve of the anniversary as well. You could tell, speaking to Hugh and speaking to Donna and to others that were there. Certainly, the families themselves are feeling it. And I think they left yesterday with the part of the problem. I won't say problem, that's the wrong word. But the chief executive was pointing out that he was saying, look, it's going to be difficult for officials to actually justify buying this as a CPO for that particular reason. And then Councillor Devine was saying, look, you're acquiring land in Letterkenny for a park. What's the difference between doing a park in Letterkenny and doing a park in Chrysler? The end of it was that the councillors decided unanimously that this should be the policy the council pursues. So the executive must now sit down with an instruction, in inverted commas, from the members that they look at acquiring that site for use as a memorial with the family.
But is there a choice or whether or not that actually happens?
It's the executive would certainly strive to meet the request of the councillors. Now, whether you can say that's totally an executive function, but the councillors essentially are determining the policy of Donegal County Council, that's what they've done. And I mean, as Hugh Harper said to me, what he wants and what Donna wants and what all the families want, what Hugh said to me, and I will quote him directly, Hugh said, I want to be able to go somewhere and sit down where my daughter took her final breath.
Okay.
And I think that's what all the families were saying yesterday.
Thanks very much indeed, Donald Kavanagh from the newsroom.